It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Come on, Red! Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds Podcast. How you doing, buddy?
What up?
What's going on there?
How is it going?
It's going.
A week away. Just realized. Yeah, a week from the draft.
From today.
Yeah, a week away from the draft. Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't think about that until I came in.
Okay, we're going to get into Nick and Howie. Obviously, shout out to Devontae. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
You know, super
excited. Jalen.
Jalen. With Jalen, I had to say all that. But let quickly, I mean, just do you ever in your career, you've been covering the Eagles for over a decade.
Forever.
Really long time. Do you, and even just as an Eagles fan, do you ever remember a draft with this little juice? Ever?
No.
Like, no, right? Like,
no.
Not, honestly, I can't even think of one close. And I get it that there's always more juice when you're at the top, when you got a top 10 pick, whatever. You can just know the guys better. There's this and that, all that. But because you know who's
right.
Going to be. Hey, we're going to get one of these 10 guys, likely, whatever. But so I get that at 22, it's kind of a, you know, spot where it's harder to get excited. But even with that, I mean, and I think part of it's that there's a bunch of offensive linemen in that spot.
That's definitely just part of it.
But I don't ever, even with callers on the station, like I usually will get like the, you know, 10% of callers, like the Justin in Tennessee's who call up and they got their guys.
Yep.
Like we don't even get those calls. Like I hear nothing about
so
that.
So I think part of it is that at 22, they're, people seem okay with the fact that they might just draft a player that's not going to play this year. And we'll get right into the Howie and Nick thing, I guess, off of this point.
Yeah.
My main takeaway from Howie and Nick. Now,
look at you. What a pro.
You like that?
He's like, enough with the banter.
No, because it's,
no,
it's on my head.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
But now I will say this press conference is...
did slam the table there.
You did. You did.
Yeah, I did. We're not in the video room. So I can slam pretty good now.
The press conference is meant to deceive. This one especially. Meant to deceive. So I will say everything that they say, take with a grain of salt. But man, they spent so much time explaining why it's good to draft a backup at the top of the draft. And I just cannot get down with it.
The Cam Jurgens answer was like a particularly...
Well, and they said, you know, and I'm not denying there's truth to it.
Of course there is.
It is beneficial to have these guys learn. And Howie made the point, and I think it's a correct one, that sports are the only thing where we expect people right out of college to go in and be great at their job. But guess what, buddy? That's just what it is.
That's the deal.
I don't know what to say. I agree.
There's a reason first-round picks make $10 million
yes,
or whatever
it is. I agree.
Yeah.
He's right. It is crazy to think that at 24 years old, you're supposed to come in and instantly be a great player and the top of your profession. I agree. But guess what? That's just how it works. So,
also, by the way, a profession where everyone's done by their late 30s.
Yeah,
like,
so
it's not like you have a, you know,
that's
it's
a good
like
point.
A small, it's not like you have a lot more time to get good at something when other
so,
people,
Would it benefit an offensive tackle or a cornerback to learn from Lane Johnson, Darius Slay? Yes, it would. But you know what's more beneficial? To get a player at 22 that can play right away. So just listening to him, and I look, they're probably lying. Deep down in my core, of everything I know about Howie, I just can't believe they will take a pure offensive tackle at 22. And maybe they will. I think going into the draft, they want to take an offensive lineman. I think ideally they want that lineman to be someone that can play guard. Either the guy from Oregon State, the guy from Washington. I think J.C. Latham out of Alabama can do it. Jordan Morgan out of Arizona is someone to keep an eye on. Ultra athletic, former track and field guy, is projected to play guard but has the ability to play tackle. So those are names I keep an eye on. But if they take Mims out of Georgia, who has only started like 9 games in his college career, is not expected to be able to play guard, is a pure tackle, it's a wasted pick to me. And is there a world where Lane injures himself the first snap of training camp? And I do agree, like it's some of the same, I'm sorry I'm on a rant here.
No, bring it, buddy.
I do agree, it's some of the same logic. Thank you. It's some of the same logic as receiver, where if AJ or Devontae goes down, all of a sudden that wide receiver three spot is more important. And I guess it's similar to Brock Bowers. But there's two positions on the field, or I guess six, but two groups on the field where you just don't rotate snaps, quarterback and offensive line. So a wide receiver three will play a ton even if AJ and Devontae don't get hurt. An edge will play even if the other guys don't get hurt.
A cornerback.
There's pass to the field. So if you want to tell me that an offensive tackle, you want to take someone because, A, if Lane or Mailata goes down, it becomes a need. I understand it becomes a need, but by that logic, just take a quarterback. I wouldn't take a quarterback at 22.
You're just pointing out that if we're talking about drafting a backup in an important position.
Then why not? So, and then the other thing is, well, Lane might retire soon.
It is different, obviously, because there are two tackles who play, and there's more opportunity to play.
There's some differences, but
yeah.
And the whole thing that Lane might retire soon. If Lane's going to retire in 1 year, and he has locked in stone he's going to do that, then I get it a little more. But we don't know if Lane's going to retire in a year. Lane could play 3 more years for all we know.
So Andrew Whitworth was good until 40 or whatever.
Yeah, he could play a really long time.
Right now, he'll be 34, I think, during this season.
Like, right.
Absolutely 2, 3, 4 more years is like a possibility.
If he only plays one more year, it's a disappointment.
And also, he has missed, not for injury, he's missed, 14 games in his career for suspension? That's essentially like a season he didn't play in terms of like...
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. You're right, yeah. But if he gets hurt, you need a tackle. I agree. But you can find veteran tackles other places that can come in and back up. You're not going to find as good of an athlete or a prospect as you will, but I'm not taking someone at 22 that's primary role for the next 2 years is a backup. You only get this guy on a cost control deal really for 3 years. They got Devontae, who was a first round pick, for 3 years, and then they had to pay him. And I know it doesn't impact the cap hit yet.
So it's like 4 years, really, you get him for.
In terms of divvying out cash, they pay him when he was a rookie, and they're going to pay the guy after 3 years. They'll pay Jalen Carter in 2 years. So if you draft an offensive tackle and he sits for 2 years, you're wasting 2/3 of the time and not to mention, you don't even know if he's good until the third year. You can have an idea, but until someone plays 17 games or a full season as a starter, you don't know for sure. Let's say they draft Mims out of Georgia. He plays 4 games next year and he's awesome. You're like, I can't believe how good this guy is. Well, what do you do then? You force Lane out, you get rid of Mailata, or you sit him for another year, and then you can feel like he's good, but ultimately, you don't know until he plays a full game. So if they take a pure tackle, I would be very surprised. I would be very shocked that they're actually going down that path. I think it's very poor logic by Howie. So to hear them say that and try to explain it away, it felt like they're preparing us for it.
It did, and they do that. Like, they will lay the groundwork from a public perception standpoint for things that are coming. I mean, we've seen that so many times, and we're 100% aligned on this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd prefer defensive or offense. If they take an offensive guard who could play tackle or whatever, I said I'd be fine with it. Like, I would prefer a defensive player, but I'd be fine with it. But you cannot draft a straight tackle. Like, you can't do it
now.
I am fully support. And again, I understand replacing Lane and all that. Do it next year. Do it the year after that.
Do it the year you need him.
Yeah, do it when you need it.
If you draft a player,
I know it's a best player thing. If it's like the best player on the board is so clearly a tackle, like, you know, I understand the
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, you take the best player.
You take the best player, but ultimately, I am fully supportive.
Well, and so Dillard, they drafted Dillard, what was it, 19?
No, it was like right around 20, 21.
No, sorry,
22.
The year was 19.
Oh, 2019. Yeah,
so
yeah.
when they did that,
it was right around 22nd. It might have been the 22nd pick. It was right around then.
Yeah, and I know they tried to hand him a starting job, but they had Mailata, who was coming off a year where people were excited about him. He hadn't played. People were excited about Mailata. I believe they obviously still had Lane, and I think Jason Peters was still here, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So there was not a clear path to Dillard get on the field. And I know they tried to hand him the job, but when you take a rookie that doesn't have a clear path to starting, it's just harder for his career to get off the ground. And so if Lane retires in a year, I'll just take a tackle next year. Even if you're drafting 32, let's say they win the Super Bowl and Lane decides to retire, the guy you draft at 32 should be able to play right away. Maybe he's not the best version of himself, but if you're a first-round pick, you should be able to go out on the field and contribute immediately. So this idea of grooming an offensive tackle for 3 years or 2 years, why? If you're taking like an offensive, like a physical freak in the fourth round, that yes, perfect, do that. But in the first round, they're supposed to be instant contributing players. And so hearing them talk about it so much, I mean, look, they're setting.
Yeah. And I'm fully with you. Again, I think that is the worst, you know, the worst move they can make on draft night is to take a straight tackle who's not going to be able to play a guard for them. I totally agree with you. I think it's a disaster in that spot.
So, yeah, that was probably my main takeaway.
I think the other, and we'll get into your take. You were in the room, asked the first question.
I thought it was a great question. All my big boards, right?
Yeah, we'll get to that too. A week away, believe it or not.
I know.
Elliot, someone told me that. I texted you about it. For me, by far, the moment that stood out to me the most in the press conference was also Howie's, among Howie's worst moments in a press conference ever, in my opinion. I think it might have been his worst answer ever. You know, it's up there. I can't remember every answer, but, you know, our guy Davey Ram asks a very fair follow-up.
Credit Howie, to you, Ram.
Yeah.
He asks really good questions.
He asks, and he's not afraid to. He's really good at it. And Howie answers the question about the Reddick trade, you know, the first question about it, and he's like, yeah, win-win. And Dave, very smartly so, like every Eagles fan listening is like, win-win. Who won?
Right.
You know? And Dave's like, hey, you said it's a win-win. Can you explain how? And he made the, I guess, very tiny semantic mistake of calling it conditional draft pick. Yes, technically, it is a draft pick with conditions on it. We get that, Howie.
Right.
And Howie jumps on him. And he's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. It's not a conditional pick. It's a draft pick. I can't answer the question because the premise for the question is wrong. It was... I'm trying not to use a word I don't want to use. I thought it was a jerk. I'll use a different word. I thought it was a total jerk move from Howie. I think Howie is clearly butthurt about how this situation plays out. I think he's clearly upset knowing that we all freaking hate the move. Mm-hmm. I think he knows that. And I think that he took it out on a question in a completely unfair manner. And ultimately also never answered the ultimate question of why is it a good thing for the Philadelphia Eagles that Hassan Reddick is not there anymore? Which is what the freaking question was. And I just... Look, I think we love Howie. We support him on this pod. And it was the first time in a while I was like, yo, Howie, like, screw you, man. That's not okay. You can't do that. I hated it.
So I agree with you. I think to put myself in Howie's shoes, I think he got the question. He didn't really know how to answer. So he jumped on the semantics of it to try to.
I agree with you. So, to deflect away.
Yeah. So he was like, well, we're getting the pick, so it's not conditional. Yes. But it is. A conditional
Everyone
pick.
Calls
and
it
to
that.
To Uram's point, so let's say Uram would have said, Howie, you traded Hassan for a third round pick. Howie, I bet, would have jumped in and be like, well, it could be a second.
Yeah, so the only thing he could have said is, Howie, you traded it for a draft pick with conditions.
Yeah, like, or just a draft pick. Uram's not in the wrong here.
Not at all.
Yeah, exactly.
The way we all would have said it. We've been calling it conditional pick all the time.
Yes. I was surprised.
Me too.
It was very out of character for Howie. He's very buttoned up in those situations. He's very...
And he's usually not a jerk to people.
Like, yes, I agree. Publicly, yeah. And I
know,
don't
but
think
privately. But I'm saying publicly, in these settings, he's usually like...
Yeah, he's jokey, let's have fun.
Which, enough, guys.
Yeah, it's
Nick
a little
Nick and Howie,
fun.
Like, enough. And so I thought, for what it's worth, because I hated that too. And again, we don't need to belabor the right answer, but because we all know what Howie was doing, but I thought it was unfair. And
yeah,
I
agree. I think
really
unfair is the right word.
I thought with the jokey
it's
thing.
It's kind of mean. It was just mean.
Yeah, exactly. It's mean.
There's no reason.
And
Uram,
like, I know. He talked to me the next day. Did I do something? He's like, did I say something wrong?
Yeah.
He came to me. He was like upset. I'm like, no, man. Like,
yeah,
that's
it was
like
a fine question.
Like, Howie made him feel that way. And that was messed up. But the other thing you mentioned that did stuck out was, again, we're back to the jokey, Nick and Howie thing, which we all hate. I will say, I thought the answer that you gave on the morning show to that question, and I'm going to let you say it now. I thought it was by far the best excuse I have heard yet, and it made me, like, I'm still annoyed by it because I feel like they don't choose the right times to do it.
Yeah, it's annoying.
But say what you said, because I think if you're going to, Like, it is a reason to maybe not get as upset about the jokey-jokey thing.
I think the reason Howie does what he does at the podium is I think he wants to portray himself in a way that he's not perceived. I think Howie is perceived, after all the reporting, as, like, hard to work with. You know, coaches don't like working with him. I don't think Howie shows a ton of personality. I mean, Daryl Morey, and I don't want to get into the Sixers because I'm disgusted with them right now coming off that big win. Mm-hmm. Daryl Morey. But Daryl Morey goes on the Right Strikey Sanchez pod. He shows personality. People know Daryl. He's on Twitter. He tweets. Whether you like Daryl, hate Daryl, you know a lot about Daryl. I don't think Howie shows his personality. And so I think he uses this to try to show himself as like a fun, free-natured, I really care guy. And I don't blame him for it, but I don't think it is perceived well. I don't think anyone sees him up there and goes, man, that guy is like one of us.
I want to have a beer with that guy. That's what he's going for.
Yeah, that's what he's going for. Like, so even when him and Nick show up to the podium and like Howie goes, I'll sit in this seat. And they're joking around about, well, we normally sit here. And then he's doing the whole thing.
You're
with
eating the clock.
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. It's just annoying. It's the only way I can put it.
It's annoying.
But I do wish that Howie would do more things to show his
personality
in authentic settings. You know?
Exactly.
Come on WIP for an hour.
Real quick, you hit on it. That's what it is. It's because the reason it comes off poorly is because it feels inauthentic.
Yeah, because
it feels like forced jokiness.
Right, and I think Nick, too, I think he likes to have people see that him and Nick get along. And I do think that him and Nick get along. I think there is truth to that. I think Nick is probably somebody...
It's pretty easy to get along
pretty
with.
Pretty easy to get along with. So I would be... But... Yeah, that was annoying.
I thought it was a great answer by you because I had never thought about that perspective on it. And I think you're right. I think that's why they do it. I think that's why Howie wants to do it. And get it.
It's the jokes just, and the analogies.
Yeah,
and,
but it just comes off as inauthentic because guess what? It is inauthentic. And thus
it's forced. Yeah. Forced. Doesn't mean it's not well-intentioned, but it's
fine. You can do it, but like pick your spots.
Yep, I agree. Because also you could tell at the end of the season press conference and everyone was so mad at him, he didn't do any of that stuff.
None of it.
Tail between the legs.
Yeah, they look like they like just walked out of a funeral.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think outside of that. I mean, they didn't really say much.
There was not too much to grab on
to. The Redick stuff, but again, I think here's what I'll say about the Redick thing. I think that we're still all looking for a smoking gun, and I just don't think there is one. But the further away we get from it, I would not do the trade. I do not like the trade. But the thing that stuck with me more and more the further we've gotten from it is he's now on his fourth team in six years or whatever.
Yeah.
And if we're going to complain about the culture, I don't think it's fair to blame Hassan for it. But I think this was probably a money, age, culture move instead of they care a ton that he chased sacks. I'm not saying that's not part of it. But if Hassan was willing to play for 1 year, $5 million and was an awesome culture guy, then I think they would be fine with him chasing sacks.
Yeah, I yes and no. I don't think you want people chasing sacks because then you're playing out of structure.
I agree with that. Especially,
you know, we've had multiple callers and we can't know, but Vic could be involved in this. This could be a Vic Fangio thing where Vic comes in and is like, I don't want that guy. That guy doesn't play the way I want my edge rushers, my outside linebacker, whatever you want to call it, the way I want my guys to play. Like, I can't have that. I can't have someone freelancing. They need to play my like, so who knows? There's so many little angles. And maybe that's why he's so bristly, because he's like, maybe I didn't personally want to get rid of Redick.
Yeah, I think that's
part of it.
But
Vic Fangio didn't want him, and I hired Vic, and who knows? Like, there's so many little, and again, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I'm saying there's the potential for that type of thing. So, but I'm with you. I think that look, there's also the possibility that we don't know, but maybe Hassan went to Howie and said, I'm not playing on this. Like, I'm going to hold out. Like, maybe he said that. Maybe he's like, trade me because I'm going to hold out.
It's interesting that Jets haven't paid him yet, though.
There's so many different little things that we can't know and we don't know. And so, again, I can understand why, you know, Howie's probably a little bristly or bad, because we don't know the story. And I think that's what he's saying. He's like, you don't really know what's going on. Just, like, handle it better, man. Like, you got to understand that even if we don't know everything, your fan base is upset about it. Like, we are all not, the vast majority of us are not happy with this. And it's your job, like it or not, to try and mollify us. Like, it's your job to try and sell this to us.
I do think, too, the Eagles, and I respect it to an extent, and I get the reasoning. The Eagles, I think, over the last few years have become a team that very, very much does not want to give information out, whether it's health, whether it's scheme. We still haven't talked to the coordinators.
Wild.
And again, I don't expect the coordinators to get up there and say...
You're right, though.
Yeah. And I don't think the coordinators are going to get up there and explain everything, but they're not going to get up there and explain everything because they don't want to give out any answer. So if they think strategically it makes sense for them, I'm okay with it. But then when Howie gets all, you know, why are you questioning this decision? It's because you're not telling us really why it happened. I think he gave some reasoning in terms of the snaps and everything, but they put themselves in that situation. They signed Bryce Huff. They brought Joshua Webb back. They drafted Nolan Smith. He didn't trip into it all of a sudden and be like, whoa, look at all these guys we have. He made all those decisions. So, yeah, I just think that if they want to withhold information, fine, but then you can't also get mad when people are frustrated or like how he said, don't have all the information because you're not giving us all the information.
Exactly right. You purposefully right. obscuring information yes. from it. And I get it. Do your job. But all right, speaking of information, I want to get your draft board. I want to get to Devontae and the contract. That's coming up in just a second.
Yeah, so I know you're dealing with something in your house
I
right
am.
Now. But here's the good news. Even with a leaky window, you don't have to worry because as partners and friends and sponsors of the Go Birds pod, you have Window Nation. So I'm sure, James, that when you woke up, you and Emily saw the leaky window. Normally, you'd be worried about that. There was probably some ease in your heart knowing you had someone to reach out to. And that's because Window Nation, they have 10 years of experience doing this. And they install your new windows in just one day or less. And those windows, they come with a lifetime warranty. They're the people that come and install those windows. They've done like thousands and thousands and thousands of windows. They're not a window problem that they haven't seen that they can't fix. And that's a nice thing about Window Nation. You have the security of knowing, A, the payment plans they offer if you don't want to play up front are ridiculous. It's like no payments for years, interest, all those things. But more importantly, you just know they're going to do a good job. The older I get, I will say, it is worrisome to hire people to work on your house.
Oh, yeah.
Just letting people into your house. When I was younger, I just assumed, you know, you just call anybody, they know what they're doing. Not really. There are people out there that are not good at what they do. And if you don't have someone to call, then you can put yourself in a worse situation than you were to begin with. So call Window Nation, 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And the most important part, tell them Go Birds sent you.
Tell them Go Birds sent you. All right, we'll get to your big board in a sec, but so Devontae!
I have three big boards, so you decide which one you want. Actually, I have five this. Big boards.
Dude.
I have an offensive line big board.
You are out of control right now.
I have a first round big board.
Full on out of control.
An Eagles need.
Oh my God.
Cornerback and wide receiver.
This is, did too much work. You got to be prepared. You did too much prep.
I got
to
be.
All right, we'll get to that in a sec. First, Devontae. This is one of those, like, it's so funny because, you know, you talk about so many things in sports that'll happen that you're not expecting or we're expecting something like this or who could they sign or this or that. Like, there are certain things where you're just kind of waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
This was a classic, like, they're going to sign him. When's it going to... We're just waiting.
It was matter of when, not if.
It was
in a way
anticlimactic because it was just like, yep.
I agree. It was very anticlimactic.
I've been waiting for it.
Yeah, and also, who's disputing it?
I know.
Who out there...
Is there anyone out... If you put out a Twitter... And there are always, you know,
of course,
some
there's some people, I'm sure, but...
But, like, theoretically, if you polled Eagles fans and said, are you happy about the Devontae extension? I would think it'd be 100%.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, literally.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, and I think that that's the correct way to look at it. Now, if just for fun, I wanted to play devil's advocate, you could go, should you put this much money in receiver?
Well, that's
the
what
answer
I was
to that is yes.
I think so, too. But, I mean, there are, you know, stats. No teams ever paid this much to receivers and won the Super Bowl.
So I think the flaw with that, though, is
that the
it's a new age thing.
Up,
so you're really talking about the last 4 years.
Because the cap keeps going up, too. So it's like all these things don't matter as much. Like the high-paid quarterback, like all that
right.
stuff.
Right. And while I do think when paying people, you have to think about positional value and where you put your different resources, Devontae is just someone you want in the building. I think when we talk so much about culture, there is no better, in my opinion, in the building right now, there is no better culture person than Devontae. He was drafted here. He came from winning program. He's a super hard worker, great off the field guy. Everyone loves him. He's an important part of the team. There are other players that are important and good culture guys. Like, I think AJ is an underrated culture guy, actually, with how he's discussed sometimes. But Devontae is who you want. In an offseason where they've lost Kelsey, they've lost Fletcher. I know BG's still here, but he's in a limited role. Like, the next poster of who the Eagle is can be Devontae. So while I understand you're paying him and AJ, he's just not someone you let out of the building. He's not someone you want to play around with. You don't want Devontae thinking, well, maybe they won't pay me, or why are they really negotiating hard with me? They can't. I'm sure they didn't just give him a blank check, and the deal actually is interesting, but he's pretty close to a, all right, man, what do you want? Let's get this over with in an afternoon.
first and foremost, you made the point about you pay the important positions. Wide receiver has become one of the, like, I think it's like
probably
after,
top four.
I was going to say, it goes like quarterback, lines, and then wide receiver,
yeah,
quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's like right there. And the salaries we see, $25 million a year type stuff. Like,
right.
You only see that for the biggest position. So it had become that. And then also to your point, yeah, it's like, he's also a baller, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's awesome.
Like, if you talk about, like, what Eagle showed up in the playoff game?
Yeah.
Devonta,
and yeah.
It. Like, he's the Eagle who showed up in the playoff game. Also,
he's been awesome from day one, too.
Yeah, dude, to your point about, like, you know, just liking him, like, you know, long, Brandon Graham, Jason Kelce have been my two favorite Eagles. We've talked about that so many times. Like, one more year of Brandon, like, Devontae Smith will be my new favorite Eagle.
Yeah.
Like, when Brandon Graham is gone, and it's like, who's your favorite Eagle? Devontae.
I agree.
My favorite Eagle. Like, that's the guy I love the most on this team, and I think a lot of people feel.
Well, so let's look at Dallas and talking about this deal. So
Not the Cowboys? Oh, you are? I wasn't sure you're going Goddard.
Oh, no, my bad. Yeah. No, good point. Yeah, you're right.
Okay,
you're right.
So look at Cowboys. Cowboys. There's a great
comp. CeeDee Lamb is holding out.
Yep.
Now, we could argue who's better, CeeDee Lamb or Devontae. I think you would probably say CeeDee
right
because he's number one.
Yeah.
But I think Devontae could do what CeeDee does if he was on.
You and I both feel the same about Devontae. I think he's a top 10 receiver in the league. And you could all parse it out however
you want. But the Cowboys, the dude's holding out. They're not paying him. And it's like, to what, man? To save yourself $4 million? So where I respect the Eagles is, and I'll pull my lot in on this, they pay their guys early. And I think there's two benefits to that.
Well, there's one massive benefit in that you're setting the market. And, like, there are so many receivers out there who are about to get paid, who are going to get more money, whether it's Jamar Chase or Amon-Ra St. Brown or all these guys.
Right. Like, and I think Jamar has an argument for more than Devontae. But
I agree.
Yeah,
but my point is you're still getting Devontae cheaper than you would if you waited until, like, three of these guys sign.
But I think another benefit is, if you look at the deals Mailata and Devontae got, I'm never going to sit here and say someone that got $55 million shouldn't take it. Obviously, if I was Devontae, I would sign that in a heartbeat. You could get hurt, all those things. But Mailata and Devontae did not reset the market. They wanted to be here, and I think it's important that when the Eagles do this, they make it very clear, we want to pay you. And I think it makes the player feel wanted, and I'm not saying they take less money because of that, but I think that when both sides really want to get it done, it's just easier to get a deal. Like, with the Cowboys and CeeDee, there's obviously tension there. He would be at camp if there was no tension, or OTAs, if there was no tension. So I think the Eagles do a good job of identifying who they want, making them feel wanted, and then when it comes to the contract, I think they get them on deals that, frankly, are not outstanding deals for the players. Devontae got the same amount of money as AJ, but I don't think he got a ton of new money because he was obviously going to get what he was going to get this year, and then he was obviously going to get the fifth-year option. So, how he wraps him up for another 3 years for, I think, another like $20 or $25 million in new money, or maybe even less than that. So I think it's a really smart deal for the Eagles. I think it's a smart for Devontae to take it. Like, take the money. You got basically what AJ got.
You're,
I think,
young. You got more contracts coming, and theoretically.
And he got a ton of security. I mean, there's very few times where we talk about a contract and I go, yeah, it's like a pretty legit 4-year deal. This is a pretty legit 4-year deal. This isn't in 2 years they can cut him
out of it. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the specifics in front of me. Basically, if he's on the roster in 2026, which he clearly will be, barring a disaster. I actually think it's 2025. In 2025, his 2027 salary becomes guaranteed.
Wow.
He's going to be on the roster.
Wow.
So it was a good deal for Devontae. It was a good deal for the Eagles. I think it was important to get it done. And to bring up Dallas Goedert, I also think it's noteworthy and really important going into the season that all their guys are paid. When we talk about touches and people being upset about, why am I not getting the ball enough? In my opinion, that generally is rooted in, I need to get touches so I can make money. There's part of it just wanting the ball. But AJ's paid, Devontae's paid, Goddard's paid, Saquon's paid, and Jalen's paid.
I mean, those guys are paid for like one more year, essentially, Goddard and AJ. And both those guys are going to want new contracts after next season.
I agree with that. That's fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they have gotten big paychecks, but you're right. That's a fair point.
They've got some control and some power over these situations, which is super important, some leverage in these spots. But like, they're going to have to keep paying these guys.
And I think AJ will get paid next year.
I would too. I mean, depending on if he has a good year, which I assume he will.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
All right, let's get to the big boards. I don't even know how to go about deciding which of the big. Let's.
Well, do you want to do Jalen first?
I was going to say, oh, Jalen, yes, thank you. I totally forgot.
Yeah. I'm curious what your thoughts were.
So, sure, you want me to go first? I was a little disappointed with Jalen. I didn't think it was that big a deal. I know there are a lot of people who really didn't like what he said and all that. And my thing with Jalen is I don't like the whole, well, you know, they're going to tell me what to do, and I'm just going to kind of, you know, be a part. Like, you're the franchise quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, it felt like it was an us and them kind of feel to what he's saying, or me and them instead of an us. You know what I'm saying? Like, when he spoke, it felt like I'm an employee of the Philadelphia Eagles, not I am a major part of a group that is the build-up. Do you know what I'm saying?
So it's I agree with that.
And again, I don't think it was horrible. I'm not like ripping him.
It's hard.
I just wanted to hear more like,
yeah,
Eagle.
So initially when I was there, I felt he was giving longer answers than normal. And I wonder if that was intentional to try to just
filibuster.
Yeah. Well, no, to just try to this year maybe just talk more, as silly as that sounds.
Oh, interesting. You know, I thought to answer less questions.
No, I thought his answers were longer. I think he had things he wanted to say. I think because of Jalen's demeanor sometimes, it's hard to get a read on him. If that was my first press conference I'd ever seen Jalen, I didn't know anything about him, I would think he was very upset Brian Johnson was fired. Now, I think he is not happy Brian Johnson was fired. He talked about how he thinks Brian's still a great coach. He said the thing like the timing wasn't right here. In my opinion, I just think he meant the Eagles wanted to fire him. I don't think he meant firing Brian was the right decision. And look, his answer about how he wants what Stoutland has in the offensive line room, or the offensive linemen have in Stoutland, where you have the same coach for 5-6
years.
Which
is fair.
It is fair,
it's
for sure.
It's a really fair thing to say.
And he talked about, you know, I forget the exact phrasing, but he essentially said it's been a revolving door. If you
that
think about it.
That was the phrase that he used.
Since Jalen's gotten here, he's had Doug Peterson as
Just that, college too.
In like, college too.
From college till now, yeah.
Now, I wonder, there's something to that.
It's every year.
But Doug was his play caller, then Nick was his play caller, then Shane was his play caller, then Brian Johnson was his play caller. And Nick, and then obviously Nick's also been involved, and now they have Kellen Moore,
also a different QB coach.
Yeah, so this will be his fifth play caller in 5 years, right? Nick, Shane, Doug, Brian, and Kellen. So he'll have five.
And then again, different quarterback coach 4 of those 5 years as well. That first year was not really playing as much, but like,
yeah, true. Press Taylor, Brian Johnson, whoever the guy is now,
Doug Nussmeier.
Yeah, and then so 3.
No, wasn't there someone else in there we're missing? Anyway,
regardless. But he's had a lot of coaching change. So I think it's a fair criticism. I did think it was interesting to me he said that. You know,
no doubt.
I think there's a definitely where he kind of go up there and be like, look, I love Brian, but I completely trust the decisions will be made. And he said a lot of this stuff. But I just thought he was a little more upfront about the revolving door thing. I just thought it was an interesting quote.
I thought it was
quote.
Very interesting. And look, I want Jalen to be honest, and I want him to speak and say how he feels. I want him to grab on, and I said this last year, and look, I understand we've talked a lot about like the personality thing and can he change it and can he be more gregarious and does he need to and all that, and AJ's like, I just want to be him and all that, and I'm big on being authentic and all that stuff, but like, I need him to understand everything that goes with being the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's not just go out and play well. Like, it's not just that, sadly. Like, it'd be great if you could just go out and play well and that's the only part of your job, but it's not. You're the quarterback of the team. There's a lot that goes into that, from a chemistry, culture, running the locker room, running the team, running the organization in some ways, perspective. And I want Jalen to grab that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with everything. And the reason I'm trying to look up a quote that he said, because I think it fits to what you're talking about. I agree. I think grab it is, you know, maybe not the best phrase out of context, but like, grab the bull by the horn.
Like,
in a quote he had that I thought was really good, and if he's going to act on, I think it's really encouraging, is he goes, the question was, what do you think you need to do differently, essentially, from a leadership perspective? He said, I think really leaving it to no one else to set the culture and how I want it to be. Communicating that to everyone else and communicating that with my teammates and carrying that. I have a standard I want to play to and I want to play to at all the time. And so in the end, the number one thing you're going to establish that is with work. And so there was another part of that quote where I think he referenced the people above him. That answer to me says, last year, Jalen maybe realized that part of the reason things didn't go the way he wanted and he was upset about it is because he didn't go
out. Message that.
Yes. And so if he is going to be real about that quote, I think he has to be a far more vocal leader. Because
no doubt. Well, that's what the quote's saying. He's saying, I need to be more vocal and tell people what I want from them.
If you're saying what I want and I'm the one that sets a culture and I'm the one that has, then you have to do it.
No
doubt. You can't just be a bystander.
And that's exactly what I'm talking
about. And this is what people want. So if on the sideline, he sees things like Hassan's not here anymore, but like, who knows, like AJ's going crazy or whatever, then bro,
Handle
you can't
it.
Just sit there. Like
Handle
if you're it. Saying, I have to be the one. So I thought
yeah,
that
we
was,
can't have any more shots of people freaking out on the sidelines and then a cut to you sitting
yeah,
by
just
yourself.
Sitting there because you're saying yeah, you're the one that has to set it.
Exactly right.
The other thing, I didn't have this takeaway, but talking to like people afterwards, like other beat writers, so I'm not saying Eagles, they did, and I'm curious what you feel. Did you feel Jalen was kind of setting it up with, look, there's a lot new here, and you know it's going to take a while to adjust, type of thing? Like almost setting not an excuse.
I didn't think about that. But I mean, I could see it. That was not my impression. And in thinking about it, I could see how someone would think that, but I don't think
yeah.
that personally.
Okay. I didn't really either. I do think.
But, you know, I mean, he did mention it.
He like, used it as change.
He
and I mean,
yeah, he talked about the revolving door. He talked about, you know, they still got to tell me all the what they want to do. And, like,
right,
there was
yeah.
a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like, I didn't think of his excuses, but I thought of it as, like, kind of early passing the buck already
yep.
a little bit, which is the same thing. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
Something to keep an eye for.
Yep. I agree with all that.
All right. Let's get to the boards.
All right.
Let's save the.
I mean, there's a bunch, so I don't want to do them all today.
No. All right, so why don't
let me tell you the five I have, and
okay.
you tell me which ones you want.
So we'll do one today, or I guess we should do two today. Two next
I don't
week.
Know. We should have planned this before.
We should have.
I'm going to save my overall first round big board
yes,
for next
week.
Yes,
that one is definitely getting
saved. So I'll save the need one, too.
Save the need. Why don't we do the offensive line, since we talk so much about...
These
so
names are so hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
But,
all right, then let's do another.
And we already
more time.
Did it. Let's do cornerback.
Corner. That's right. The one I want the most. This is what I want.
All right. So here's my official stance. I'm out on Cooper DeJean. I'm out.
So I am too.
I'm out. Would I take him at 50?
Yeah,
yes.
That's what I
was
about
take him
to say.
At 50.
I'm not like, I don't want him at 22 is right.
Agreed. Yeah. So and I think a lot of these guys could be on the board. Obviously they won't be because I think a corner will get drafted before 22. Nate Wiggins out of Clemson's my guy.
Your number guy. Number one guy. So did you hear the Jeremiah audio?
Maybe not.
So Jeremiah said his concern about Nate Wiggins
is the size. Probably.
No, is that he doesn't want to tackle. Is that he's strictly a cover guy, and he is worried that he won't be a willing tackler.
So I don't love that, but I also don't care about it as much. I mean, again, when I'm picking a corner at 22, I need to feel like he can play man coverage. And Nate Wiggins played man coverage at Clemson on the number one guy all the time. And so now he can play zone too. He has experience doing that. I don't love the tackling thing. I think part of it is he is undersized. But to me, the Nate Wiggins undersized thing feels like the Devontae undersized thing. And I know it's different because they're playing different positions, but they are going up against mm-hmm. each other. So I'm not super concerned about his size. So I have him number one. The not tackling thing, you know, maybe that just has to change. I don't mm-hmm. love it, but it's not the end of the world for me. I'd rather have someone.
The Eagles have a cornerback right now who doesn't love to tackle.
Yeah.
So, you know, multiple. I'm James Bradbury, you know, whatever.
So my number two, and honestly, you can convince me to put him number one, is Kool-Aid. I'm in on Kool-Aid.
I was surprised he wasn't one.
Yeah,
I just think
Nate Wiggins is a better athlete, and he doesn't have the injury concern, but Kool-Aid, man. You go to Alabama.
I love the true yeah. freshman thing. That's
week one snap
yeah.
one Alabama start as a freshman. Like, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm betting on that guy.
That's a winner, right?
Yeah, and not only that. I mean, he plays man coverage. He is a good athlete. I think he's probably being slightly dinged by the injury. And look, he's being dinged by me on my big board. But I think if he doesn't get hurt and he's not dealing with this Jones fracture, going into the year, he was a number one corner on almost everyone's board. So I think to get him at 22 would be good value. Number three is Terrion Arnold for me. I'm not as big on him as other people. I don't hate him by any means. I have him number three overall. I think he's a great athlete. I think he has the tools to play man coverage. He's played zone. He can go inside the nickel if you need. Some people think he can maybe even play safety if you wanted to initially at first. But my only concern with him is he doesn't have like a ton of experience. I think he's only been a full-time starter for 1 year, maybe like 1.5 years. So that would be my only slight ding on him.
Sure.
Number four, and this is where people are really going to disagree with me. One of my draft crushes is Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon. 6'3", long arms, all the body type you want for a corner, super fast, plays man coverage, went to a big-time program. So he's viewed as like a... Like Dame Brugler had him as a 5th-round pick, and some Whoa. People had him. But I love him. I think he has all the physical tools, and he checks the box. He's a late bloomer. I believe he transferred from, I think it was Alabama, maybe. But he's a little older. But I'm in on him.
Let me give you some credit. I really do appreciate that you give no Fs about yeah. where anyone else has it. No, I really yeah. do. I appreciate that. You were giving us your real opinion on these things, and who cares right. where they are? And I appreciate that.
5th-round.
I can get
wild.
Sucked into that. Well, he's ranked pretty high there. I'm gonna go with that one.
That's my thing with Cooper. So. Number five is Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo.
Who I like.
Yeah.
I don't love, but I like him.
So it's funny you just said it. I'll be honest with this one. I am letting other people sway me a
Influence
little.
Influence you a little bit.
Because everyone talks about how good he is, and I'll take
Which
your word for it.
Which is probably why I like him. Yeah.
yeah I just...
Seems like he's really high.
My there. Read on it of like reading scouting reports and watching YouTube of these players for years, I didn't love what I saw.
Okay.
But...
I don't love the Toledo. I mean, that's a little...
Yeah. But I didn't like the dude out of... was it Illinois last year? Witherspoon?
Yeah,
I thanked him a little
good.
For that, and
yeah.
he was very good. So I'm trying to learn from that. All right, so Cooper DeJean.
Illinois, though, much bigger than Toledo.
Obviously. Agreed,
Toledo's
yes.
a very tiny
yes,
school
yes, yes. But not like a major program.
Yeah.
All right, Cooper DeJean. I would not
take... Is he sixth on your list?
He's sixth on my okay. list. I would not take him at 22. I just...
It's because he's white, isn't it?
No.
I'm joking. That has been a big talking point.
Well,
like,
all right, so
that
I will
has
say,
been a
though,
major discussion about like
for
his,
sure.
You know, look, so I mean, Jason Sehorn is the only white cornerback of our lifetime.
But here's what I would say: I actually think that makes. I'm careful how I phrase this, but like with Christian McCaffrey, he was a white running back, and people were like, "Well, you can't take a white running back."
Yeah,
and he proved to be awesome.
Yeah.
So I do think that if you're such an outlier at a position and you've made it this far, there is obviously a special quality.
Totally,
to you.
Because you're, yeah, it's a great point.
Right? My thing with him is I don't think he looks the part, not because he's white. He looks too big to play corner to me. His arms are huge. And so people talk about him playing safety. I think he looks more like a safety or even like a hybrid linebacker to me. I think he's a great athlete. I think he has great instincts. I think he's good around the football. He's great with the ball in his hands. Like the highlights of him running are sick after he gets the ball. I just, and maybe this is me being too stuck on this, I don't know if he can play man coverage.
Greg Cosell.
And again,
this is one of those things that I hear all the time, and I am not expert enough on corner. I can get the concept of it, but I cannot look at a corner and I mean, I get, if they're really this, I can see it. But he gave him the dreaded, he's too stiff.
Yes, that's my thing. I don't think, if I'm taking someone at 22, like Kyrie Jackson, who I guess people don't like. Kyrie Jackson, I think I can say, go cover that guy, and maybe he's not technically, like he needs to work on his technical ability, but he's super athletic, super long, he has all the things, he's fluid. Cooper DeJean, to me, looks like somebody that is just, I don't think he can stick with number one receivers. And so, could he be a number two corner? Yeah, but I'm not taking a number two corner at 22. I also don't love that he's great at everything, like he's good at everything and who knows where he'll play. Like, I don't love that. Like, I want my guy I'm drafting to know that he can be great at a position. Because if he ends up playing nickel, that's not a good use of the resource.
You don't use 22 for a nickel.
Now, safety maybe, but, you know.
Safety at 22, he has to be a damn, like, no doubt about it safety.
Agreed. So again, at 50, yes. If they trade back to 45 and he's still on the board, maybe. I don't love the player.
I think that's fair. I'm not as enamored as others are, for sure.
So three of these four next guys are nickels, and I obviously would not take them at 22. I mean, maybe at 53, but I probably wouldn't even take them there. They might be off the board, but Andrew Phillips from Kentucky, I'll compare him to Max Melton out of Rutgers. Both like... undersized. I think they're both 5'11", 5'10", but super physical, great instincts. They play man coverage. I think if it was like a nickel draft, like they would be high picks. I think they're awesome players. It's just the value of the nickel is not as high. TJ Tampa out of Iowa, he's an outside guy. I like him enough, but I'm not like in love with him. I would take him later in the draft, but I think he'll be gone. And then Mike San, I'm going to pronounce his name, San Ristel out of Michigan.
Champ.
What? Yeah, I was going to say. So I like that he played for a championship defense. He's played in big-time games, big-time programs. So He's number nine for me. So
we had a caller call up, really likes him, Michigan guy.
Yeah, I think he's really good. So if they had like a third round
pick.
What
about the Rickshaw guy or Rickshit, what's his name?
Oh, I don't like him.
Yeah, I'm intrigued because he's looks like a second round pick. People are
Let
saying.
Me get my notes on him. But I remember.
I know his name is not Rickshaw. It's something.
No, but it is something like that.
It's close. It's,
talk for a second. It is.
Yeah, I can talk. I can say stuff.
Oh, and it's
Rakestraw. I knew it was close.
So he has a torn ACL before. Now it was 2021, so he's passed it a little. Here's my notes I have on him.
Because people do like him. He's someone who's like generally in that second round discussion or whatever.
So relies on football IQ and technique. Not a great athlete. Plays lots of off coverage, but has the ability to play man coverage. So for me, just based off my notes, and again, not like watching him in front of me right now, I just don't love the off coverage thing. I think if and now maybe Fangio's going to play a lot of off coverage, and if he does, then I don't think they should take a corner at 22. But I think off coverage zone corners can be drafted later. I think if you're taking someone early on, it has to be someone that you want to play
get
press man coverage
and,
with.
I'm with you. All right, let's save the others because we'll do multiple pods next week, getting set for the draft and all that. Mm-hmm. I will make extra time on draft week, even though no one cares about the draft right now, apparently.
People will care next week.
Of course they will. But I will say, it is interesting because I saw,
We have Gobert.
Shout out to friend of the, we have Gobert, of course. Shout out to friend of the pod, Sean Morash. Remember we had Sean Morash on to talk to
Giants? Oh, yes, yes.
He was the obnoxious about his Giants fan, WFAN guy that came on and said the Giants had the best defensive line.
Yes, that's right,
But was an awesome guy, and we really liked having him on.
Yeah, he's fun. But I saw, he's a fun Twitter follower.
Yeah, so. I really enjoyed, speaking of Twitter, I saw him tweet, and he said, he's like, there is no juice for the draft in New York with the Giants. The Giants have the 6th pick.
Yeah, well, they
might be trading up for a quarterback.
Yeah.
But he's like, there's no juice anywhere. He's like, the Jets, September. He's like, I'm not feeling any juice for this draft.
You wanna know why?
Which I thought is fascinating because, like, again, to our discussion in the beginning, I understand at 22 there's less juice. Like the Giants have the 6th pick in the draft and there's no juice. Like, it just, and it's weird too because the 3 quarterbacks are going in the top, maybe 4 in the top 4. Like, normally there's juice with that. There's no juice with this.
Well, here's what I think. And I got ripped on Twitter for this. I just don't think it's a great draft.
I don't think
there's guys people super love. I think it's the top 2 rounds have a lot of guys that are interesting and good prospects and you should be excited about them. But the issue with this draft is it's Caleb Williams, it's Marvin Harrison Jr., and it's like the first 4 picks that are interesting. Outside of that, even J.J. McCarthy, no one's in love with J.J. McCarthy. No one's in love with Michael Penix out of Washington. Like,
God, I hope the Giants trade up for J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, it'd be, yeah. Oh, although I will be honest, I'm like a little more in on J.J. than
I know
other
you
people.
Are.
But regardless, I don't think he's someone to be worried about if you're the Eagles. So I just think
there's
no one, because it's all going to be quarterback, so I'm sure at the top of the draft people care, but... You know,
I'm with you. All right, Saturday 1 and 3. Obviously, we'll talk a lot more draft, and then next week we'll really get geared up and try and create some excitement.
Yes,
if it's not there. All right, let's get to final thoughts.
All right, so I have 2. One is a funny one, and one is a thought.
Okay,
should I do the funny one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're only doing one. I thought you were saying.
I'll do both if you want.
It's
but
up to you. I don't
okay. Know. So I was thinking about this. All right, this is an absurd sentence, but like. Isn't it crazy to think Benjamin Franklin had no idea what dinosaurs were?
I get what you're saying. Though.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin.
So when were the first fossils?
The fossils are like 18.
You had to look this up.
Yeah, I looked it
up. Okay,
yeah.
I'm just making sure.
So it was after he died.
1800s.
After he died. It was early
18. That is crazy to think about.
Isn't it wild?
Yes.
He had no idea there were dinosaurs.
It's great.
And now that
it's a great final thought.
Isn't it? Like he walked his entire life on Earth unaware that prior to his lifetime there was an entire species of animals that ruled the world, and he had no idea. And I was also thinking, imagine being the first person to discover a fossil.
Oh yeah, like what the hell's this?
The realization of being like, oh my God, like what have I found? Like what? Where the impact of this? Where does it end? Like I've discovered a whole nation of animals.
This is phenomenal right here.
Right?
This is, like, I'm going to give you one of these. This is all-time great.
Imagine if it came in today, and I was like, yo, James.
Guess what?
We can't record. I discovered the bone of an animal that no one else knew about that was literally on the earth. And imagine how they got to the point of discovering the meteor. Like, because we were watching the
bed. Yeah, the whole, like...
Right.
Like, how did it all play out?
And trust me, I'm not one to besmirch the founding fathers. Shout out to them.
But
and Kristen were watching the Benjamin Franklin show that just came out on Apple. And it's wild how little they knew. Like, if you think about how much influence they have on the rules we dictate today.
Well, this goes back to my whole, like, what if people rewrote history stuff?
Yeah.
You know, there's so much of that.
Like, I think they're, well, I'm going to go too far. But, I'll just say it. Like, I think there's an argument that the founding fathers, if they were alive today, because of the extreme lack of knowledge, would be considered almost like dumb. Like,
yeah, of course.
Like, they
wouldn't understand.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
They would see a car and be like, what is happening? What is this?
Exactly.
This contraption?
And it's so funny to think.
Planes flying? What the?
Yeah.
Like, have I died and gone to the, you know?
Someone that didn't even know dinosaurs exist is considered one of the brightest, most influential people in the history. It's just wild. And again, shout out to them. What they did was awesome and brave and all that. But like, shout out to the founding fathers. Major tip cap. But no, it's just wild to think that.
Major tip cap.
Is that not the expression? Tip of the cap.
There you go.
Yeah, it's close.
Close. That was a great one.
It's a good one, right?
Yeah, yeah, really good. So mine is way dumber than yours, which is hilarious. Because mine's a very.
Find that hard to believe.
No, it really is. Mine's like a. Because, you know, so I'm watching, I don't remember, I've had this one for a while and I haven't gotten to it, so I don't remember specifically what I was watching, but it was someone who was running for their life. Okay. And I thought, like, imagine really running for your life.
Yeah.
Like, what that must be like. Like, you're being chased for your life.
Yeah.
Whether it's a gun, whether it's a situation, like, imagine running for your life. What that must feel like, where you're like, if I get caught, I will die.
So here's my question. Do you think that in those situations, it kind of doesn't matter what type of shape you're in?
Oh yeah, your body, you will push.
So like me and you, I would say, are in probably above average shape for the whole, if not good shape.
I don't know about that, but yes.
No, I mean, I think certainly if you look at the entire population of America, I think me and you would be in the upper 50% of
maybe
whatever.
In terms of how we look. I don't know if in terms of, I don't exercise very often, so you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but I run quite
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, you run.
But regardless, I think, I just wonder, in that situation, do you think we would accomplish things that we wouldn't otherwise? Like, I think we would get
the most out of our physical abilities in those.
I'd be curious to feel what that adrenaline
the
rush
life,
would feel
the, like. The, like, life or death. Yeah.
I don't want to feel it, but I mean, it would be a wild rush just to
that's
feel.
That's my point. Like, I'm just, yeah. Again, I know this is a really stupid final thought, but I was thinking, like, what that must feel like. Like, the rush,
well,
the terror, the, like,
and also, I wonder, so let's say you were running for your life and there was a big wall in front of you, and let's say it was, I don't know, 15 feet, so it was, like, pretty high.
Could you leap it?
Well, I wonder, that's what I'm saying. I wonder if there's
where
part of you.
Where is the physical, when your life is on the line, the question is, like, where does the physical
limitation
stop? Well,
it's
like stop. The stories about, like, mom power, where, like, a mama lifted,
yeah.
the real stuff that has happened, where, like, yeah. A mom has, like, lifted a car up to get her kid out from underneath and stuff like that.
And
like,
I think it's probably.
Where does that come from and out, like, how can you quantify it?
It's probably one of those things, too, where you don't even think about it. Like,
no,
you're probably just running
happens.
And you're like, I have to jump over the wall.
Yeah,
so you just go jump over the wall.
Life or death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we never know. But
good stuff, right?
If we do, I hope we survive and get to talk about it on the pod.
About it. Then we'll,
pretty awesome.
Guys, you're not going to believe the final thought I have today.
Or
remember
the final thought will be.
Remember a while back when I talked about imagining run for your life? Well, let me tell you,
yeah.
I did it.
Or the final thought will be, I guess Elliot wasn't the physical specimen we thought. I guess the adrenaline rush he wanted to feel, just me slamming into a wall.
No, turns out Elliot could not leave over the wall, guys.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Elliot would want me to bring this up, though. Yeah.
So, guys, remember we talked about imagining what we were running for life? Well, Elliot got
yeah,
you.
Elliot tried, and
sadly, he won't be able to tell us about it.
He's at the bottom of the wall. Yeah.
That's how I'm going to tell you that Elliot died.
Exactly, yeah. That'll be the name of the pod.
The pod will be like, tune in for a bit.
One final thought.
The final thought.
Yeah, the final thought. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was phenomenal. All right. Let's end on that. Right. 1-3 Saturday. Check us out. Big show as we get ready for the draft. It'll be our last show before the Eagles make their first and second and third round picks. So
yeah.
Check us out. Saturday 1-3. And then, of course, next week we will really get you geared up for the draft. Multiple pods. We'll get to Elliot's multiple boards. A lot going on. Until then, he's Elliot James.